Welcome to the preaching podcast from the Bonners Ferry Baptist Church in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, we believe it is our duty to hold fast and to hold forth the truth, which is the Word of God. We're glad that you're listening and hope that you will be encouraged by what you hear today.
Probably there. I'm not quite. Give me just a second. Mark chapter 7. Once I get there, we'll go ahead and stand, if you would, with me out of honor for God's word. So if you are there, go ahead and stand, please. Mark chapter 7. We're going to read verses 31 through 37. And once we do that, we'll pray, and then I'll give you some thoughts about this by way of introduction and give you what I believe the Lord has today. So Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us. Thank you for each one assembled here today. Lord, we pray for some we would be used to seeing here. Some are out. Some we're not sure where. Some are out of the country. Others we're not sure. We pray for them, Lord, that you would watch over and help them today, Lord, to love your word. And, Lord, I pray help us, though, who are assembled here, to be attentive to you now. Please especially help me, Lord, I pray. Lord, guide my heart, my mind, my mouth. Lord, help me, I pray, to be directly, Lord, under your influence, Lord, in preaching your word, doing what you want done. Lord, you know the need of every heart. And Lord, we often pray this, we pray it again. Knowing that need, we ask you then to touch particular and specific lives through the preaching of your word today as you see fit and according to your knowledge and Lord, to your good pleasure. Lord, do, I pray, help us to be wise enough one by one here today to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as you apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. So just this handful of verses, this is the only account of this specific miracle in the Gospels. There are other miracles where the Lord Jesus would heal blind, deaf or dumb, sometimes with a devil. This man does not say he had a demon or a devil. He was simply deaf and had an impediment in speech. We don't know how he came by that. That's not what's important. But this is the only account of this. There is a correlating text in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31. It does not speak specifically of this miracle, but just in general that at this time the Lord did a multitude of miracles. He was touching many people, and as many as were touched were made whole. And so this is a time in the Lord's ministry when his fame is spreading. So he would have seasons where he would do a work and his fame would spread. We, by American standards today, would call the Lord Jesus a great failure if all we did is considered him, his earthly ministry, up to the cross. The Lord Jesus would gather a multitude of people. He'd become famous. For instance, in John 6, after he fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, multitudes gathered to him. So in the beginning of John 6, they're wanting to make him a king. By the end of John 6, all but just a handful of his disciples had left him and followed him no more. So his crowds went from multitudes down to nearly nil. Then he would travel somewhere else, his crowds would increase, and then inevitably he would say something that people just couldn't quite grasp, and they would part. And so we see that pattern repeated until finally, where you have a week before his crucifixion, you have the multitudes saying, make him a king, the triumphal entry. 7 days later, they crucify him. Now, if you want to study humanity, study how Jesus Christ was handled on this earth. Famous 1 week and an infamous the next. Ready to make you king 1 week and crucify him the next, saying this man will not rule over us. That's what happened. I find in the book of Acts, Paul went into a city preaching. One moment they said they're gods. Moments later they're trying to stone him. Man is fickle. Isn't it amazing? We watch the affairs of men. We often say, why does God let this happen? We ought to say, why does man behave this way? We ought to start with where the problem is. It's sin. Amen? And so I say all that by way of introduction. But here we're in a season of him becoming famous, if you would. The word could not be kept in about who he is and who he was. And so that's kind of where we are. He's been in the region of Tyre and Sidon where he went to be hidden. But he comes out of hiding. He comes out of this event that we looked at last week with this woman of great faith. And he comes down through the regions of Decapolis. The Bible mentions just, I think, some factual things that are interesting and put things into context. The region of Decapolis is mentioned three times in the Gospels. It's here in Mark 7. It's also in Matthew 4 when the Lord Jesus, his fame began to spread early in his ministry. People from Decapolis came to him to hear him preach and to see his miracles and experience those. So in Matthew 4:25, Decapolis is mentioned. Mark 5:20, it's mentioned that the Gadarene went into Decapolis and told how great things the Lord had done for him. You cannot help but believe there's a connection between Mark 5 and the work of the Gadarene telling who Jesus was. When Jesus came back in this region, guess what? People are flocking to him. Someone had been spreading the news about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can bewail and get frustrated over what's going on in our world. Can I encourage you with what I'm going to preach on this morning in connection with what was in Sunday school and in connection with the Lord's constant reminder in my own life? If you want to do something today to help in the world in which you live, go out there somewhere today and give somebody the Word of God. I want you to think personally. When was the last time you personally pointed another person to Jesus Christ through the Scripture? Don't lift hands, and I know some of you are doing that on a regular basis, so if that's wonderful, keep up the good work. But if not, I'm concerned that especially among genuinely saved people, our focus gets shifted to our world and off of our Savior and what our responsibility is. We are likened as Christians to two things, salt and light. Salt, when it is used properly, is dissolved and serves its purpose. It is not there to be the focal point. It is there to add something to, preservative and life and so forth. We're salt and we're light. The salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing. And so may God help us to understand who we are and what we are and what our purpose in this world is. We're strangers and pilgrims. One of the most valuable things you and I can do with our life today is tell somebody else what God has to say. The world is busy telling people what man thinks. The world needs to know what God thinks. The world needs to hear from us that Jesus Christ is living. You know what the gospel is? It's not just that Jesus died. He's living. You and I know people today that can't hear God when he speaks. We ought to try to get them to Christ so he can fix that. Amen. There are people today, they haven't got a clue God is speaking to anybody. They can't hear. They have ears, but they can't hear. When they have mouths, but cannot speak. And so it is our responsibility to get them to the Lord. I believe the Lord, Holy Spirit of God, is emphasizing this today. So I say that because he comes through Decapolis. And the Gadarene had previously gone throughout the entire region of Decapolis telling why. You know what the Gadarene did? He went about witnessing. I was a demon-possessed man living in the tombs, tearing my clothes off, cutting myself, picking my fetters asunder. They imprisoned me repeatedly and could not keep me bound. They said, you? That was you? Yes. See my scars? This is what I was. I used to live in the cemetery. You? Yes. What happened? One day a man named Jesus showed up on my seashore and he cast the demon out of my life. And he clothed me and put me in my right mind. And my job today is to go around telling how great things he's done for me. Let me tell you what Christ has done for me. Now today, that's your testimony. Some don't witness because they don't know what to say. Christ hasn't done anything for me. I'm the same as I've always been. A person bound in sin without any power to overcome. I'm no different. I could try to tell people I'm saved, but they'd know better by watching my life. Well, you need to make your calling and election sure. If you're not saved this morning, if you've not experienced the grace of God liberating you from the power of sin, you need that today. You need Christ to save you. But if you and I are saved, we need to live according to the salvation we've been given. Amen. We need to live according to what the grace that has been bestowed on us, like the Gadarene did. Then when Christ is working, people say, I've heard of him, right? So all this by way of introduction, but I really believe it's the tone of the messaging this morning, both in Sunday school and the message this morning. He comes through Decapolis. There's another note of interest, I think, in this. This miracle involves spit. How many of you noticed that? Stuck his fingers in his ears and he spit. I don't know about you. I don't like being around people that spit. I really don't want to be spat on or spat near. The Lord Jesus performed three miracles that involve spit. I just find it intriguing to me. And maybe we'll say more about that later. Two were healing blinded eyes. One, he spat on the man's eyes. The other, he made mud with his spit from clay and anointed his eyes. And we'll get to those miracles eventually in our series. But three miracles recorded in Scripture where the Lord used spit in the performance of his miracles. Here in Mark 7, Mark 8, and in John chapter 9. And so in the Old Testament, spit is always negative in its connotation, always. It is either a source of defilement. So if a man that was unclean spit on you, you are unclean to the next day. If you spat in someone's face, as the Lord Jesus was spat upon at his crucifixion, it was a sign of shame and reproach. You are to be reproached. And so, but I think there's some significance to his spitting in these miracles, and this one today, I think we'll be able to see some wisdom in why he did it, and we'll move on from there. I think it's very interesting. So we've made a few notes. I think to note the connection between the ear and the mouth is very important, both in the physical realm. We understand that, and I believe that's so we can understand it in the spiritual realm as well. And so we hear a lot of spiritual chatter today. We really do. If you put your ear to the theological internet, What a landmine of ideas is the internet today. People have always had strange ideas. Now they can give themselves instant credibility or fairly instant credibility because we can give the appearance that we are spiritual and so forth. They get all kinds of people to listen. And I caution you today, while the internet is a tremendous tool and we use it, and that's wonderful, and not against it. I think it's here to stay. Learn how to use it for the Lord. But be careful. Be careful. There's all kinds of things accessible to us today. You know what you need to do as a Christian? There's some of you here this morning. You're not consistently reading your Bibles. I just feel compelled to preach this way this morning. The Lord's putting some things in my heart. Things are a little different today. I think you sense that. Some of you aren't reading your Bibles consistently, and you know you should. We'll give you some advice. Do it. Quit messing around. You say, what does this have to do with the message? Everything. What you hear is going to determine what you say. And so you need to prioritize God in your life. If you're saved, quit playing games. Make your Bible and a prayer closet your priority in life so that God can use you and the devil can quit overcoming you. Amen? That's all free of charge. Because who you listen to is going to determine what you say. What you put in is going to determine what comes out. And so this morning, it's a tremendous burden on my heart because I'm telling you, if we don't listen to the Lord and respond as we should, again, we're going to be useful as we see in the text today. I'll come back to where we're at this morning, but I'm going to be emphasizing this throughout the day. I can guarantee that. So I want to see a few things though from this miracle and about this man that will help us if we'll let. I started to say, just watch out. You've heard this in Sunday school. Who you're listening to, the Bible says it's your responsibility to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. If you do have ears to hear and you are saved, it's your responsibility to guard what you're hearing. This is kind of where I got off on getting in your Bible and making sure you listen to the Word of God. Because there are, as 1 Corinthians says, so many voices in the world, none of them is without signification. The greatest defense in your life against deception, letting the wrong things deafen your ears and close your heart to God and silence your mouth for the Lord, the greatest defense against that is an offense in the Word of God. If you know your Bible, you're going to recognize error when you hear it. You know what? You know, I'm just going to say this. One of the reasons so many people, whether it's on the internet or on the radio or in a book form or maybe it's a friend, but one of the reasons so many people get caught up in doctrine that is false is because it's easier to have a false teacher communicate their error to you than it is to walk with God and let Him teach you from His Word. It's easier to be deceived than to stand on truth. And our nature takes which path by nature? The easy path. So follow your shepherd into his word. Know your Bible. And this, again, I began to say, here's a man who couldn't hear and see. But for you, there's going to be so many voices out there. Make sure, if you have an ear to hear, that you're hearing what the Spirit of God says to you through the pages of Scripture. Have your cell phone turned on so when he texts, you can get it. Amen? Back to our quote in the bulletin. You got to be in the Bible if you want to hear from God. And this is, again, a bit of a theme today. So, verse 31 and verse 32. Let's get into the outline of our message this morning. We find here a disabled man. If you're keeping notes, that's what we're going to call this point. A disabled man, verses 31 and 32. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So we are introduced to this man. We don't know his name. He is defined by what's wrong with him, as so many people's lives are. If someone said, "Do you know so-and-so?" I don't know. You know, the guy that can't talk very well and he's deaf. Oh, yeah, that guy. He's defined by what's wrong with him. He's a disabled man. We're going to see a number of things about him. What's wrong with him we see, and we've already highlighted it to a great degree that I don't want to belabor it this morning, but he had an inability to hear. He could not hear. He had physical ears, but they were not functioning. So you know, if you met someone who literally did not have ears, you would know that was a deformity. This man does not have a deformity. He has a disability. What he was created by his Creator to do, he was incapable of doing. God had given him two ears, but they didn't work. They did not do what they were designed to do. They were not functioning as he was originally created to function. He has a disability, an inability to hear. So think about it this way. We've said of others, there were blind men that had never seen the Lord Jesus, but they heard that Jesus has come into the midst. If you came to this man, let's say the Gadarene, we're in Decapolis where the Gadarene had been preaching and giving his testimony of what Jesus had done. There's one guy here who had never heard it. Not because people weren't telling, not because someone wasn't giving the gospel. And I believe there's some application for us here today. There are people out there that we've given. You ever seen someone like this? You've given them the gospel and you've given them the gospel and you talk to them about the Lord and it's as though they've never heard the gospel. It's like blank. And you see, let me explain to you again. Jesus died for your sins. He's not dead, though. He's living. And you go back later and say, "Has anybody ever told you how to be saved?" Like, "I don't think so." And you want to go, "I've told you personally 10 times. They have ears, but they can't hear. They cannot hear. Their heart has deafened their ears to God's word. So we know Romans 10, 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But what if someone cannot hear? The Bible says of the Pharisees, spiritually, they had eyes to see and could not see, and ears to hear but could not hear. There was a point where God hardened their hearts, and the Bible says they hardened their hearts. And so you can have, God has created us with the ability to hear from him. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Night unto night uttereth speech, and day unto day knowledge. Yet there are people who say, "I don't know that there's a God." Well, what's wrong with them? God declared it to them. Through the creation, God's declared it. If you have a heart and a mind, you should be able to comprehend there's a God. Somewhere, the way God created them has been marred, so there is a breakdown. Either they've hardened their heart against God, and that's often what it is when a man denies there's a God. Sometimes, though, in someone's life, they've been wounded by someone else, and they've said, "Well, the God they were introduced to is not the God that anybody would want to be introduced to," and they cannot hear. So what do you do with a person? We know it takes faith to get saved, but what if they cannot hear? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm not speaking so much physically of hearing, but God's word is declared, but they're just not hearing it. You know, the answer's still the same. Get them to Christ. I want to see this. He had an inability. He had an impediment, so he cannot hear. And the Bible says, this is a Bible word, he had an impediment in his speech. Meaning he could talk, but it was not discernible. That word impediment means this. Webster defines it this way, that which prevents distinct articulation, such as an impediment in speech. Strong's defines it this way, hardly talking, or that is tongue-tied, dumb, having an impediment in speech. So he could make noise, but it didn't make any sense. Now, to me, if this is the mark of spiritual deafness, then much of our world is spiritually deaf. Because a lot of what comes out of their mouth doesn't make sense. You wonder how some people believe what they believe? You know what they believe because it is uttered, and you think, how did you come to that conclusion when the Bible says? The Bible so plainly says. So, for instance, I know people today, and they believe that their works are part of obtaining salvation from God. And I honestly, I'm pretty simple in my mind in regards to practical things. I don't know how you believe all of the Bible and believe that your works are going to redeem you. I just don't know how you can believe Romans 4 and 5 and take them seriously, or Ephesians 2 or Titus 3 or Romans 10 or Romans 8 or 9 and believe that your works are going to redeem you, or any other portion of Scripture. I don't know how you believe the account of David and think a man's works are going to justify him. I don't know how you believe the account God gave of Moses and think he was justified before God. I understand our works justify us with men. If I tell you I believe something and I won't do it, I'm not justified. You ain't going to believe I believe it. That's James 2, by the way. We're justified by works, not with God, with men. If I say I believe something and I won't act on that, you know I'm a fraud. Amen. And that's truth, by the way. You say you believe the Bible and you won't obey it, something's wrong somewhere. The fact of the matter is, but we have a world today that is spiritually deaf. They believe things and they utter things that are just utterly senseless. It's like there's a noise, there's something being stated, but you can't make sense. You ever heard somebody preach and get done like, I know they were talking about God, but I don't know what they were saying. Now, that can be, maybe we're deaf, but sometimes it's because there are those who are simply uttering the best they can, but they can't hear, so they can't speak. They've not heard God, therefore they cannot clearly articulate plainly truth. They may know a truth, but they can't articulate it because they can't hear correctly. We're applying this spiritually. He had an inability to hear, and therefore he had an impediment in his speech. Because he could not hear well, he could not speak well. But then we find his influence. There were people that knew this man and knew something was wrong with him. How many of you think the man knew something was wrong with him? How many of you knew he obviously did not communicate like other people did? He understood that there was something wrong with him, and he had some friends that cared enough about him to get him to the one that could correct his problem. They cared enough about him to say, you know what, we can't fix your ears, and we can't fix your mouth, and we could sit here and tell you all day about the Lord Jesus, but that wouldn't do you any good because you couldn't hear us. So we're going to take you to him and ask him on your behalf to do something for you. How many of us know this man could not come to Jesus and say, would you please give me my hearing? He would, and I'm not mocking or making fun. He'd have to come to Jesus and say, I'm not mocking. He could not communicate his own desires. He didn't even know how to communicate to God what he needed. So you know what he needed? He needed a soul winner. Now, I believe this applies to lost people who are lost in sin and need to be brought to Christ. I believe it applies to saved people who perhaps are not functioning spiritually like they should. And I believe the application to us this morning is a prayer life. Do you realize, you say, should you pray for people that, should you pray for people that have spiritual needs? Of course we should. And I believe this gives us some specific, clear direction as to why and how in regard to this account. So the disabled man, he had an inability, he had an impediment, but the Bible says in verse 32, and they bring unto him, talking about Jesus, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him, talking about Jesus. They beseech him to put his hand upon him. So what they become is ears and a mouth for this man. They come, and what he cannot beseech the Lord for himself, they say, Lord Jesus, we've heard of you. This man has not, but we have. He's not heard of you because he can't hear. And he can't speak to you, so we're going to speak to you on his behalf. Would you please touch him, give him his voice, and give him his ears? This requires what the Bible calls compassion. It means you saying, if I were him, this is what I know I would want done. If I were him, this is what I would need done. And so then they are, of some, having compassion, making a difference. The next time someone wants to dismantle Jude 22 in your life and say, that doesn't apply to you making a difference in life of someone else, you just walk away from them and move on and go have compassion and make a difference. Amen? And so, because that truth is throughout Scripture. Pity says this. Boy, I feel sorry for that old guy over there. If only he could hear, he would know that Jesus is here and that he could be healed. If only he could hear, boy, I feel sorry for him. Can you imagine the Gadarene standing there who worked his way through Decapolis running into this guy and saying, hey, man, can I talk to you? And the guy's, nah. I had a man recently in Libby, Montana. I tried to give him a gospel track, and he said, okay, can't hear. He's deaf. And he was trying to get out of taking the gospel track. I think he knew what it was, but he couldn't hear what I was saying. Immediately said, he's letting me know, I'm deaf, I cannot hear you. And he communicated enough, I understood what he meant. But the fact of the matter is, if the Gadarene comes and he tries to talk to this man, and he says, hey, let me tell you about how great things God hath done for me. And the man just stands and stares at him. I was living in the tombs, and do you understand what I'm saying? And the guy goes, Can you imagine the Gadarene saying, man, I feel so sorry for him. If only he could hear, Jesus could help him. But Jesus helps people possessed with devils. But if you can't hear, too bad. Man, I feel bad. If only he could hear, then maybe Jesus could have helped him. If only he could talk, he could go to the Lord. Even if he was deaf, he could go to the Lord and tell him verbally, I can't hear, would you please get... But pity says, I feel a sense of sorrow for you, but I'm going to do nothing about it. The influence in this man's life were people that had compassion on him. The Bible says of Jesus in Luke 10, when he's given the parable of the Good Samaritan, he says, the priest went by and looked at the guy, and the Levite went by and looked at the guy, but the Samaritan had compassion and went to him and did something about his condition and his state. You and I have people around us every day that have things spiritually wrong with them. They are dead in trespasses and sins. I'm going to tell you, look around us and our world gets woolier looking all the time, wilder looking all the time. People are doing things unimaginable. And you and I have to bear some responsibility in how our world and the culture around us has gotten here. Some responsibility. I understand perilous times are going to come. God said that would happen. Men get hard. I understand all of that. So I'm not trying to give some kind of false hope, but a lot of Christians have sealed up on trying to win people to Christ. We have more important things to do than help people get to Christ and let Him save them. We have money to make, don't you know? We have careers to build. We have lives to live. Don't you know God wants us to be happy, and I'm pursuing. Hey, as an American, one of our rights is the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, and you'll be pursuing it for a long time if you're pursuing it in a life of selfishness. I heard a study the other day. It did not come from a Christian study. It was a secular study. And that of those who could be characterized as living self-centered lives, meaning self-seeking, self-indulging, none of them identified themselves as being happy. And it was, I forget how many, 20 people that were studied by a group of professors. Those that considered themselves happy were people who were investing in someone other than themselves. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach to you young people for a minute. Some of you need to die to self. This applies to the adults too. Now, if you've died to self, get up tomorrow and do it again. Some of you think you're going to have joy in life by making yourself happy. You haven't been listening to preaching if you think that. The Bible says by the cross of Christ, we die to self. By the cross of Christ, we die to our lusts. By the cross of Christ, we die to our own reputation. By the cross of Christ, listen to me now, we die to the world. Meaning it loses its hold on us. We don't think this world and all it has to offer can make us happy. Some in this room do not believe God on that because you're still thinking the world's going to make you happy. Amen. You need to die to that. Why? So that God can, you say, I want to be an influencer. Then go lead some deaf and dumb person to Christ. That's an influence that counts. That's one that counts. You do not. Hear me now. You do not measure your influence by likes on Facebook or YouTube or some other social media platform. In heaven, your influence will be measured by souls. Souls. If you can use those means to win souls, have at it. We're not out here to make a name for ourselves. If we are, we're just like the world. Amen. Amen. And amen. These men that, what were the names of the influencers in this deaf man's life? Well, that's a term today, by the way. For those who are not, I wouldn't call myself social media savvy. I'm kind of stuck in between two worlds. I'm one of those weirdos, right? I'm around people that are there and those that are not, and love them all, right? But the fact of the matter is, I want to be an influencer. What it means is, I want people to know my name. I want to be a household name. You know, here's some men that were influencers. We don't know their name. But one day in heaven, we're going to know that these men did what they could to help somebody else who had not the ability to help himself. What did they do for him? They took him to Jesus. And then they took his case to the Lord Jesus. They took his case to the Lord Jesus. You ought to consider today in a very practical way, who am I bringing to the throne of grace on a consistent level, on a consistent basis? And saying, Lord, they've heard, but they're not hearing. I've told them, but they're not listening. Would you touch their ears so they can hear? Lord, there's people that are Christians and they're floundering. They've heard the preaching. The Bible said of the Laodicean church, they had eyes but couldn't see. They were saved people. They knew not their own spiritual state. But you knew who had the solution for them that could open their eyes and give them sight? Christ. How many know Christ is living today? How many know that's not a fairy tale? That's an actual fact. So does he still have the power to open blinded eyes and open deaf ears? I wonder how many people in America today are saved, but they're not hearing. They know what the Bible says, but they're not hearing the Word of God. You know what they need? They need a touch from God. There are things, I'm going to try to relate my own testimony. I'm not, I won't get mystical because it's not mystical. There is a point, though, when the author of this book applies it to you in such a personal way that you know he touched you. There are things I had heard all my life from the age of 0 to 16. But in July of 1997, my Lord made them mine. He did something in my life to say, son, this applies to you. He opened my ears and I was able to go, oh, I'm hearing you loud and clear. You know, after that, my speech became much plainer. It wasn't like, is he saying he's living for the Lord or for the world? I can't figure it out. Is he saying that he loves God or loves himself? I just don't know. His words are unclear. I'm going to be bold this morning because I believe this is where the Lord wants us to be. There are some in this room, I can't tell what you're saying with your life. So it's not for you to know. Well, yeah, actually, Paul said he knew of the Thessalonians, knowing their beloved, your election of God. There's some things you can make clear. You got to ask yourself this morning, what statement am I making with the way I'm living? If it's not plain, then probably the ears are shut. They're deaf. You with me this morning? When this man said something, you couldn't tell what he was saying. For some, you can't tell. Are you living for the Lord? Are you living for the world? What are you saying? I don't know. And again, we're not mocking. We're not making fun. We're saying that's not right. The statement of our life. Look, there are some people I know. You don't have to wonder. They're living for money. You do not have to wonder. They'll tell you, this is what I'm living for. I'm trying to advance my career. I want to make this amount of money. I want to buy these things. I want to live this way. And others, it's an unplain statement. And this, again, this can apply to an unsaved person who isn't hearing the gospel. It can apply to a saved person who's not hearing what the Lord has to say. Now, I'll be honest with you. How many of you have ever had to deal with someone that had a hearing deficiency? My dad said it's the only disability you have where people hate you for what's wrong with you. Because you say what all the time? Huh? Huh? Oh, I said this 13 times already, but I'll say it again just for you. Ah, why can't you hear me? Now look, I've been there as a dad. I've been teaching you this. Why can't you get it? God, has to deal with me. You know, you can shout at a deaf man, he's still not going to hear. Still not going to hear you. He's got a problem. Can't hear. You can get frustrated. Not going to help him. or you can take him to the Lord. Lord, we've been saying this. We've been telling this man about you. He can't hear us. We've been telling him what you could do for him, but he can't hear us. Can you remedy this man's problem? How many think the Lord's able to do that? I tell you, we need some ears today to be opened. Do you realize the Word of God tells Christians, awake? But a lot aren't hearing it. How many ever have slept through your alarm clock? You get up and you say, oh, my alarm clock didn't work last night. Used to, you could say the power probably went out. But when you put your alarm on your phone and the phone didn't die, you can't use that one. How many ever slept through it and verified, no, it went off? I just didn't hear it. I believe this, the Lord speaks into our lives. He says things and sometimes we're deaf. But let's go back to the influence. The men that influenced this man the most were men who took him to one that could help him. So they became the man's ears. They became the man's mouth. May I say this? There are people you know, and they have heard the gospel but cannot hear it and have thus not called on the Lord to be their Savior. Take them to the Lord. Take their name to the Lord in prayer. Continually bring them back to the Lord and say, you need Christ. And so this man had an inability, he had an impediment, but he had influence. They brought the man to Christ, and then they prayed for him. The Bible says, verse 32, and they bring him unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him, Jesus, to put his hand upon him. They said, would you please touch this, our friend? Now we find not only a disabled man, we find a distinctive miracle. Verses 33 through 35, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. He answered their prayer. What did they ask him to do? Would you touch our friend? Well, he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. What a unique, we call it a distinctive miracle. I don't know about you. If you walk up to me and you try putting your fingers in my ears, back off. Don't be touching. If you're the doctor, though, you know what? When I go to my doctor, I have to get physicals every so often, and I just love that. Just love it. But when I do, he says, stick out your tongue. You know what I do? I stick out my tongue. Now, my doctor is actually, I consider him a friend. I trust him. He's been our doctor for a number of years, and I trust him. So he says, Nevin, stick out your tongue. I do. When he says, I want to look a little further, he says, let me look in your ears. And he does. He tugs on my ear and takes that light. I say, man, I'm glad I'm not him. That would look like Mammoth Cave in there. Nothing inside. I let him, though. My point is, I let him. You know why I let him? I know he's trying to help me, and I trust him. You know what? I don't know how this man knew, but he knew he could trust Christ. And the Lord sticks his fingers in his ears and then touches his tongue. It is suggested, and I believe that it is in line with our text. If he said, first, be opened, or notice everything the Lord Jesus is doing is visible. It's all the senses that work for the man. His sense of touch works. His sense of vision works. So he visibly spits, showing, we're getting rid of something. He's doing sign language with him. You understand? He is speaking to this man where the man can understand. He sticks his fingers in his ears and the man felt it. You know what was wrong with the man? His ears. So the Lord touched what? His ears. And the man, he could have said, I'm going to touch your ears now. But instead, he just did. You know what Christ is doing? He's communicating with him. Speaking to him in language he understood. I'm going to tell you, this whole text has this to do. People say, I don't know what. How can you trust your Bible? It's been transmitted through so many languages. I have news for you. God does not have a hard time communicating. He knows how to speak to deaf people. He knows how to speak to blind people. He knows how to speak to Muslims and Hindus and idolatrous Americans. He knows how to speak. God's tongue is not tied. Man's is. Our ears are deaf. God's are not. His tongue is not messed up. God is not like, oh no, the Bible, earth's language is changing. What do I do? Those today who think you can't trust your Bible, what a faithless position to take. How little is there God? I believe because Genesis 1:1 says that God created the heaven and the earth, if we actually think that's what it said. But the God who created the universe and has kept it in motion for all these years by his word has got a translation problem. He doesn't know how to communicate with man where he can understand. Oh, no. You know what the Lord is doing with a deaf man? He is speaking to him in ways the man understood. Sticks his fingers in his ears, spits on the ground, and takes his finger and touches his tongue. I want you to see how personal the interaction is. So the distinctive miracle, we see the Lord's manner. Again, in verse 33, the Bible says, and he took him aside from the multitude. You know what? Christ dealing is a personal matter. I'm preaching to a group of people today, but the application is a personal matter. The Spirit of God knows how to take us aside and say, now, I'm speaking specifically to you. You understand there was a multitude there, but the Lord Jesus took one man, pulled him aside and said, all right, you have me one-on-one. How is that? That the God of, how many of you know that have more than one child, you have to work hard at giving one-on-one attention? And you'll never satisfy anyone that they have enough, so you try. But it takes effort. You have to divide yourself off. But the God of heaven left and became a man and took one deaf and dumb man and individually took time to communicate with him. You make no mistake, God still does it today. He's chosen preaching as the means of communicating his word. He said it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. They believe. But the fact of the matter is the Spirit of God takes his word and does a personal work. He pulls him aside. And then, as I said before, begins to do things the man can see, things the man can feel. Can't hear, he can't talk, but he can sure feel fingers in his ears, and he can surely feel a touch on his tongue, and he can see the Lord Jesus go, there's something that's a symbol of reproach and shame in your life. We're going to get rid of it. He's communicating to him. I love it. God communicating with a deaf man, and then he's going to speak. In my opinion, based on what the Bible says, is that the first word he heard was Ephatha, a Hebrew word in a Greek-speaking world translated for us into English. And we know exactly what happened. You know what? God knows how to communicate. It's a theme in this text. I'm going to say it again. What we have taking place here is God showing us, I can translate through the communication problems men have. I'm going to give you a Hebrew word transliterated into Greek, transliterated into English, and you're going to know exactly what I said to that man on that day. How many of us, it's because I'm reading from the King James, it's very difficult for us to understand what took place on this day. How many think you can go somewhere this afternoon and say, Pastor preached this morning on the guy that got fingers stuck in his ears and the Lord Jesus spit and touched his tongue and said, Ephatha. By the way, that word is used two times in the Old Testament. It's in Daniel 6:10, Daniel 7:10, and it has to do with opening something. It has the idea of someone's understanding being opened. And so it's a Hebrew word spoken in a Greek-speaking world, now reading it in an English-speaking world, and we know exactly what it means. Let me show you this, okay? Can I show you this? Bible says, he said, Ephatha, that is, you know what that is? Meaning the translation is, be opened. How many of us know, because we speak English, what he said to him in Greek using a Hebrew word? He said, be opened. Meaning your tongue is tied shut, and I'm fixing that for you. Now, be opened. First words a man heard was a command to speak. And so we find the Lord's miracle. His manner took him aside, dealt with him personally. His method, he communicates with him with visible signs, with touch. The Lord's message, be open. And then we see the Lord's miracle. The Bible says in verse 34, and looking up to heaven, showing where his... Notice again, how often did Jesus look up to heaven when he's performing a miracle? Very rarely. Why does he do it? He's communicating. He looks up to heaven, meaning he's showing this man, I'm getting the power from God. And then he's communicating his burden for that man. So he's communicating, I'm getting my power from heaven. For what's burdening you, it burdens me. And then he communicates, says, be open, Ephatha, that is, be open. And how long? Wait. And 32 days later, he had increased his hearing by 2 decibels. And straightway, I like that word, his ears were opened and the string of his tongue loosed and he spake plain. Now, we find the Lord speaking plainly to him before this, but now he can speak plain. He is now not identified by his weakness. He's identified by what God has done for him. For the rest of his life, someone would say, boy, you speak well. Bible says he spake plain. It means he could articulate. He couldn't just speak. How do you go from never speaking at all to speaking plain? How many of you know your 2-year-old goes from not speaking to speaking plain? No, hang around Judson. You got to hear him say banjo. I'm not sure if it's mama or banjo or grandma. He's got some words that are clear. And some it's like, what is he saying? And he gets frustrated. And so I say, don't give in to him. Make him say what you want. Try and teach him to talk. But it's not plain. This man goes from I can't talk to plain speech. That fast. Where did power come from? The power of God through a compassionate Savior. Ephatha. Be opened. And the string of his tongue was loosed. By the way, which language did this man speak? Hebrew? Greek? Aramaic? Far as I know, he had never spoken any language. But now he can speak plainly. You know, I hope you can go home today understanding God is not limited by what limits man. God can break through our communication failures. He can break through language barriers, whether we're talking about the transmission of language to language to language. One of the reasons I believe my Bible is perfect is because I believe a God who's not limited. You say, well, that would take a miracle. Yep. You got it. The reason I hold the position I personally hold, and we teach this church to hold in the Bible, it's the only position you hold on the Bible that requires faith. Every other one you can explain with scholasticism. We're not against scholastics. But if you have to be able to explain it in a classroom to make it so, God is probably not involved. If you have to be able to explain it that way. How did the world come about? You explain it. Come on. Darwin took his try. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, you believe that Bible's without error? Do you realize how many men handle the Bible? I do, and that's what makes it such a miracle of God. God's able. If God can make a deaf man speak plainly, he can give us a Bible we can trust. Amen? Amen. And by the way, give us ears to hear it and understand it. The greatest issue with understanding your Bible is not a linguistic issue. It's a spiritual issue. Not a linguistic issue. So well, if you gave me a Russian Bible, I couldn't read it. That's right, but we're not talking about a Russian. We have an English one. Amen? People try to compare our English Bible to other languages. The Bible in your King James, the English in your King James is not some other language. It's the language. I understand there's words we don't use today, but I'm here to tell you much of it is not an issue of the means of communication, but the means of reception. Amen? And so this morning, here's a man, the Lord works this miracle. Then we see a definite or definitive message. It's the same one we're trying to bring out this morning, that we have a great and mighty God who's able to, through the weaknesses and problems and deficiencies and disabilities of man, communicate and set men free from what binds them. Verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. How many times have we read this in the miracles? And we already know what's going to say next, don't we? And they went everywhere. So I have the idea. What we're going to start doing to further the gospel is going to say, don't tell anybody this week that you're saved. Anybody. Don't let anybody know that Jesus is living, that he can save souls. You keep that to yourself. It'll spread like wildfire. Here's the point. And God never goes back and rebukes these people. You understand there's willful disobedience and then there's weak disobedience. I'm not going to pretend they did not obey him. They didn't obey him. He said, don't tell anybody. But you realize the miracle was so great, they just couldn't not. They couldn't keep it to themselves. The Bible goes on to say, and I'm not defending them not doing what he said, but this is how it's in the Bible. He charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more, the more a great deal they published it and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Their command, they were told, don't tell. Their consternation, they're amazed. What? I can't believe this man. He's done all things well. I would encourage you to read Matthew 15, 29 through 31, your own time, to see that he did many miracles and the fame of him spread abroad and they just couldn't be kept quiet. What he had done, he's done all things well. Their conclusion was he's done all things well. He's opened the ears of the deaf and made the dumb to speak. And so what happens is after the Lord performs this miracle, who gets put in the spotlight? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the greatest motivator for bringing men to Christ should be? Christ can be seen for who he really is. He's not a curse word. He's not the guy to affirm your sinful life. He's not your cousin down the street to chum with. He's the Lord of heaven. And you know why we should bring men to Christ? When he transforms them, it declares the truth of the gospel. It shows the world. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And the greatest evidence of that is transformed lives. You know somebody this morning that's deaf. You know somebody that's dumb. You know somebody that needs a touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take them to Christ. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go to Christ and say, Lord, I've brought someone to you to help. Would you please help them? I'm going to tell you what, something. As soul winners, our part is getting them to Christ. Christ has to do the touching and the saving. And so maybe that's, look, we've had a whole Sunday school lesson on witnessing and soul winning. Why? I'm going to tell you something. The number one reason for witnessing and soul winning is not growing church attendance. I believe that's a default. It happens. People get saved, added to the church, fine. It's not a church growth method. It is a command of God to go and make the gospel known. Why? Because when people let Christ touch them, he changes them. And then when we say he's living, we have evidence A and evidence B and evidence C and D. I'm going to tell you what, but if they're not told and are not prayed for, if we're not sowing and we're not watering, we're not reaping. You with me this morning? If we're not bringing men to Christ, like literally leading them, let me tell you about the Lord, and they're not bringing their name to Christ and saying, Lord, we've told them, but they're not hearing you, would you touch their ears? Water that seed with prayer. Young ladies are saying, I've heard this somewhere. Yes. We hear it all through the Bible. My question is, are we going to do it? When are we going to say, all right, that's the way I'm going to live. I know who Christ is. I know what he's done for me. If you don't know what he's done for you, you need to get your salvation settled. Then maybe you need the touch. I don't know. God knows hearts. But this morning, oh, I don't know about you. I need a message like this to stir me afresh and anew and say, right, right. I need to get men to Christ. He has the power to touch. By the way, do you think anybody communicated with this man like this before? Don't you think even before the Lord said Ephatha, the man knew what Jesus was saying? Touch his tongue. Be open. You know what? God knows how to break through what the barriers of men. You know, they're all, listen, the world is full of offenses that keep men from hearing from God. Do you know who can make a difference? You and me. Taking them to Christ, saying, Lord, touch their ears. Touch them, please. We've told them you can help them. Now, would you please honor your word? I'm not talking about saving people against their will. God won't. How many of you understand this? When the Lord put his fingers in the man's ears, he led him. When he touched his tongue, he led him. The man had to have personal faith. So if the man walked away, there's nothing Christ can do for him. But people can't trust Christ if they're not brought to him. You and I, it's our job. God gave the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to me this morning. He did not give it to angels. He didn't give it to the government. He gave it to you and I. That's our responsibility. If we're not busy about it, we'll give an answer for it at the judgment seat. How about you this morning? I'm glad somebody influenced me. I'm glad somebody said to me, Nevin, you have problems. Yeah. And I cannot fix them for you. But if you let Christ, he can. And as a little child, well, sure. And I let him touch me. As a saved young man, somebody said, Nevin, you've got some spiritual problems. You reckon? You know, I'm grateful. I had an aunt told me one time, when I was floundering as a teenager and not living for the Lord like I should, she said, Nevin, I'm praying for you. Today she's not living for the Lord like she should, but she was then. You know what she's doing? She said, I'm talking to the Savior about you, that he'll help you. Oh, I'm so thankful. I had a pastor friend prayed for me. Parents prayed for me. You know what? There was a day when the Lord said, I want to put my fingers in your ears. Okay. And he touched me, and I need his touch every day, and so do you.